When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Must Hear Music Podcast. My name is Joe Lynch and I'm sitting here with Jason Lipschutz.
What's up, man?
Hey, and Lindsay Havens.
Hello.
Lindsay, welcome back from your... Wait, never mind. I guess this is our second one this week.
Yeah, we talked Monday.
I just wanted to
lavish praise
on you for the panel you did recently.
Oh, thank you. That's very kind.
Yeah. What was the panel about?
It was a lot of fun. Everything. All right.
You went to D.C.
I went to D.C., the Big Apple. No, I have not been to D.C. since 2008.
Sorry. Yeah. Weird. Anyway.
That was rough. Just keep going. Yeah.
I went to D.C. for a panel pegged to the music festival All Things Go, which had one all-women lineup. Like, one day was all-women artists, curated by Lizzie Plappinger and Maggie Rogers. So tied to that, they had panels the night before it started. And I was on the Women in Music panel.
That's awesome.
I really enjoyed it. Yeah, it was my first panel experience.
Congrats.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
I'm excited.
Yeah, it went well.
Well, here's to many more such panels.
Thanks, yeah.
All right, but enough of patting
me.
You on the back.
Yeah, let's move on.
Let's dive into some music. So I'm going to start with one of my picks. I'm getting ready for Jason to laugh at me. So, it is a song from the new Quavo album. You know, I like Migos, but there's a particular reason I picked this song. It's because this Quavo song features none other than Madonna, which was a surprise. No one knew she was going to be featured on this album. You know, the album came out today. Madonna is on a song with Cardi B. It is called Champagne Rosé, or as Madonna pronounces it throughout the song, Champagne Rosé.
It's the only way to say it now.
Yeah.
Yeah, she just changed the pronunciation of champagne, i.e. champagne, forever.
Yeah.
No, there's just a lot of things going on in this song I like. You know, Migos kind of sticks to a pretty similar sound. Like, their albums, you could say, are consistent. You could also say they get a little samey. This one, I feel like there's a little bit more going on. It's kind of, like, sort of outside. I mean, listen, it's still, like, kind of that mesmerizing trap sort of thing. But there's some modulations going on. There's some interesting things. There's a flute in the background, which is kind of strange to hear with Quavo's voice. And I already said this to Jason. I already floated this theory. But here's the thing. So it's called Champagne Rosé.
Uh-huh.
There's a flute on the song. What do you serve champagne in but a flute? Is that intentional?
I don't think anyone thought that.
I think that might have been intentional.
Really?
I would not be surprised, but I also might be crazy. But anyway, so yeah, Madonna is on it. It's a little quick one, you know, maybe 7-second vocal thing, but it repeats throughout, so she's basically on the whole song.
Well, she has that verse at the end, which is sort of similar.
That's
but
true.
A little deviation.
And yeah, no, it's good. You know, there's a lot of voice modulations with her, like the music album. You know, and there's what do you guys think about it? Before I keep
so
blathering.
I like this song. So it's Quavo, Cardi, and Madonna, and I think it's really strong. My one thing about it is that even it's a little over 4 minutes. Wow, Lindsay just
I tried to do it in secret.
That was tough for me to witness. even though it's a little over 4 minutes long, this song feels too long. Like, it just feels like, and I think part of it is because the verses are so short and the hook is so long that it just feels like this song could have been clipped by like a minute. And
yeah, I can see that.
I mean, that's not really anything within the song that I dislike. I think like the kind of hypnotic, like modulated Madonna hook is like plays well against Quavo and Cardi's verses.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just like structurally feels a little bit off.
I feel like it had to be the length that it is though, because whenever you get something that hypnotic, you like almost need the time to realize that it's hypnotic. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. If it was shorter, it wouldn't have the same effect, I don't think.
You need the repetition.
Yeah. So that by the end of it, you're like, whoa, what just happened?
Is that what you were like?
Kind of.
Are you like, whoa? Yeah.
I was like, whoa. Yeah, I really like this. I actually like the album a lot. Before I realized that you'd pick this song, I was thinking of doing Huncho Dream or Dreams. Because that song, there's a lot to unpack there, but...
Well, do you want to unpack some of it? Do you
no, to... I mean, I...
no, okay.
And we won't get into it because I didn't prepare properly. But I just, you know, he's talking about Nicki and...
Yeah.
In a way that is some... Like, he's respectful at the same time as being a little controversial.
Yeah.
I just... It surprised me. When I was listening through, that was the track where I was like, wait a minute, what? But
yeah, I was also wondering, I mean, now that you brought up Nicki...
yeah.
Madonna has collaborated with Nicki Minaj, I think, twice before on... In the studio, and you know, Nicki was in her Bitch I'm Madonna video, and you know, the Super Bowl, and it is sort of surprising to have Madonna on a song with Cardi. I mean, it's also very possible Madonna and Cardi have never been in the same room together,
right?
But I'm wondering if there's like the Madonna Minaj love fest is over,
oh no,
or if this is just coincidental.
That's an interesting point to make. Yeah,
well, I will say that in Cardi's verse, and I'm pulling it up right now, there is, and I, you know, I was reading the lyrics on Genius before we taped, or we're taping this, and there is something that they call out. The end of Cardi's verse goes, I don't do number two, that's the type of shit I'm on. And
I didn't even put that together.
And the annotation on Genius, and whoever annotated it, kudos, is this might be a veiled reference to Nicki debuting at number two and contesting that she debuted at number two. But obviously I could
just be a poop joke, honestly.
I mean, it's a look, I'm not denying it's also a poop joke.
Yeah.
But by saying I don't do number two, I mean that could just be a general thing, but yeah.
Lies. Everyone does number two.
No,
moving on.
I'm saying I don't do number two. Like, she could be talking about like I'm
no,
number
I get
one.
It. I get it. Yeah, yeah.
So it might not be a Nicki.
It's possible. Yeah,
it really might be though.
Yeah,
that'd be pretty clever.
It's tough.
She's like,
yeah,
look,
I mean,
I got Madonna on a track and I got a number one album.
Yeah, I think it's tough though. Whenever like these things happen, then people start like reading into absolutely everything.
Yeah.
I could. I'm 50-50 with that line.
Yeah.
But anyways, let's listen to it. It's Quavo featuring Cardi B and Madonna, Champagne Rosé. Two bottles, three bottles, four bottles, five bottles. All right, that was new Quavo from his solo album, Quavo Huncho. Next up, let's do a Jason pick. Let's do Lil Baby and Gunna, Drip Too Hard.
Yes, all right. So Lil Baby and Gunna put out this Drip Harder project together, joint project, I believe last week, I think. At some point. Drip Too Hard is kind of the standout single. If you look on like Spotify's US charts, it's number one right now. Mm. In kind of the same way that I say that the Quavo song is a little bit too long, this is like the perfect kind of like pop length rap song to me. It's so catchy. I mean, to back up a little bit, like Gunna has been a Young Thug protege. Lil Baby is on Quality Control and had a pretty big song with Drake. Lindsay's only yawning when I talk, and it's really messing me up.
I'm not trying to do it on purpose. I'll hold them in.
No, it's fine.
On purpose, it's just natural.
Yeah. It's when I speak, it's boring. But Lil Baby obviously had a big hit with Drake, and you know, it's funny. We just had Coach K and P, the heads of Quality Control, as our hip hop and R&B execs of the year, and part of their interview was them saying like Lil Baby's up next and he's gonna be like a superstar. And honestly, when I read that, I was like a little bit skeptical of like, you know, like the song with Drake was strong, but like Drake kind of dominates that song. And I've been kind of waiting, and this project and especially this single kind of seems like that. Like him and Gunna play really well off each other, but also Drip Too Hard, like Lil Baby sounds like a superstar on this song. Like he sounds like he's completely like in control. He's unique in his flow. He just kind of dominates this song, and he dominates this song, but also makes room for Gunna when need be. I love it. Like it's a really great project, but I think the single is definitely the standout. So yeah, what do you guys think?
Yeah, when this I think it was on the Hot 100, right? For some reason, this came
this
across
song?
My when it first
debut.
Came across my radar. I was just like I don't know. There's something so immediate about it. Like within 30 seconds, I was like, wait, this is really good. And then like
but
I
then
just wanted to listen
later,
to it.
It's over.
Yeah, exactly.
It's really short.
And I just wanted to like listen to it over and over. It's like very low key. It's a tough trick to pull off to have something that's like kind of like this low key, but also like insanely catchy at the same time. And this like hits that sweet spot. And I agree, like, it's, like, the perfect length. Like, it ends and you want to listen to it again, which is, you know, I mean, not what every song needs to be, but that's certainly, like, a great thing that's a great quality for a song to have.
Yeah.
You might say control is a great quality.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Anyway.
You want to add anything?
No, I want to leave it at that.
That was it? Okay. I thought you were going to say something like drip too hard. I think this drips just hard enough.
I saved that one for you to say.
All right. Thanks. Anyways, let's listen to it. It's Lil Baby and Gunna, Drip Too Hard. Drip too hard, don't stand too close. You gon' fuck around and drown. Off this way, doing all these shows. I've been on the road, I don't care where I go, long as I get paid. Bad little vibe, she been on my mind. Soon as I get back, she can slay. Do this all the time, this ain't no surprise. Every other night, another movie get made. Drip too hard, don't stand too close. You gon' fuck around and drown. Off this way. All right, Lindsay, we're gonna do one of your picks. Let's start with. I'm going to make you wait for the one I know you really want.
Okay.
Let's start with LMA and Her. It's Her, right? The H-E-R. Is it H-E-R?
It's H-E-R.
Oh, it's H-E-R.
Well, I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
So it's
there
all caps.
There is an artist, Her.
Yeah.
This artist is H-E-R.
Right. It's
great.
Capital H-E-R with periods. Mm-hmm. Anyways, you've seen the name apparently as H-E-R, and it stands for Having Everything Revealed. When,
of course.
You know, great.
Yeah.
And then LMA. So they have a song together on LMA's just dropped debut album. It's called Gut Feeling. And Lindsay, you picked this.
Yeah. I really like this album from Ella. I've been waiting for the album. You know, Boot Up was a massive hit. And then we talked about her follow-up hit, Trip, on this podcast.
Which is great.
Yeah,
which they're both really, really good. Overall, I was surprised the album is mostly down-tempo. Like, Boot Up is the most catchy one of all.
Yeah.
Trip is the second most catchy one of all. But so just like leaning into the more down-tempo vibe, this song really stood out to me. It's just like a very pretty piano ballad from two artists that I'm super into right now. And it's cool seeing them work together in that way. And yeah, other than that, I mean, nothing really stands out. It's just a pretty track from two artists who are sort of having a moment right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I like how they play off of each other. And I agree. I was hoping for something a little bit more dynamic listening to it just because I am that fan, like that a big fan of Boot Up and Trip. You know, what I do like about this, and I need to listen to the full album again. I listened to it once, but I like how this kind of segs into Trip on the track list, and it's like a nice flow. I'm a fan of H.E.R. Like, I think that there's a lot of potential there that she hasn't quite tapped yet in terms of really breaking through and kind of understanding what makes her unique in a very in an increasingly crowded R&B landscape. Yeah. But yeah, I like this one, Joe.
Yeah, I liked this a lot. I think the piano really, I mean, it stands out in a way that, generally speaking, like Ella's sound, it's kind of like a classic, like maybe 40s, 1950s piano, like very like lovely and twinkling and assured. It's not like a modern piano sound. It's a bit throwback.
Yeah, totally.
Which I like. And I love, you know, I mean, the lyrics, I think, are really... relatable and hit hard. I mean, it's called Gut Feeling, and you know, it's about that fear that you know, your significant other is cheating on you, even though you don't really have any evidence. You can't get it out of your head.
Yeah.
So it kind of speaks to that, like, really, like, sad, melancholy, like, gut punch feeling, or that, like, lingering discomfort.
Because two of them do a very good job of just sort of, like, stating it how you would almost say it to a friend.
Yes.
Like, if a friend's like pressuring you for, like, information, like, well, what did he do, or like, what did they do, what's wrong, you like, nothing,
and you're like, nothing, you're like, well, it's, I, like, went through the phone and I didn't find anything, and I searched the email and I didn't find anything, but you're like, but I know something's going on.
Exactly. But they do it in such a beautiful way on this song.
Where you don't,
which
sound
is why
crazy.
It's funny, it's like the opposite of Cardi's What Be Careful. Was that the one?
It's
like the,
that's funny,
more low-key version of that.
But anyways, so let's listen to it. It's Gut Feeling and H.E.R. from Ella's debut album. And speaking of, Ella is on the new cover.
With Post Malone and Dua Lipa. And you know, I definitely think that given the long, you know, we use this as kind of a platform of artists that could have big impacts at the Grammys. And I think that Boot Up is definitely going to be in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Be a lot of places.
All right. So let's listen to it. Gut Feeling.
Don't ask questions, usually got the answers that I need. Intuition telling me, I just have a
All right, let's do a reader suggestion now. Or reader, what am I talking about? Listener.
For those of you reading the podcast at home.
Yeah, for those of you who have someone transcribe it, print it out, and then read along.
Just a, like, Jason, I like this song. Like, great. That's great.
Parentheses, laughter. Okay, so yeah, so well, let me see, who was
it? I don't even
it?
Know what the reader suggestion we're talking about.
I emailed about this. listener Chad Davis, who's from Austin, Texas, recommended we talk about Lauren Elena's Ladies in the 90s.
Oh, yeah. He did email about this.
He did tweet at us, which is great. Always tweet at us. I hadn't heard the song. I'm familiar with Lauren Elena. I watched her season of American Idol, which was quite a ways in the, quite a bit ago.
That was the one season I had to, like, live recap. So I'm familiar with that
for Vulture or Yahoo, or I don't remember. Yeah. But
wait, when was she on the show?
2011.
Whoa.
Yeah. Okay. You were just a glimmer in your father's eye.
Wow. I
so Lindsay is 7. Wow, that's crazy. What an accomplished podcaster at the age of 7.
She's achieved a lot.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
I just missed her come up entirely. That's
I mean, honestly, at that point, I don't think most people were watching American Idol.
Yeah.
Like, well, actually, no. That was when Scotty McCreery won. Yeah. I guess he was
so
really big.
Popular then.
I think that she came in number 2.
That was the first year with... Jennifer Lopez and Steven Tyler.
Oh my God, Steven Tyler. When he would just
wacky,
he would just say nothing. He would just spout words that weren't connected at all, and then go woo, and then everyone would like laugh and be like, Steven Tyler is such a good judge.
Yeah, you know what would be a quick aside. You know what would be an amazing interview if you asked either Nicki Minaj or Mariah Carey to just talk about their season on American Idol. Like, how much do you think Nicki Minaj remembers about her time on American Idol?
People have, no, Mariah's
she's
said
like,
a lot
she's
of,
done so many
Mariah's
things
talked a lot
then.
Of shit about it, like how she well, hated it, and
I just want to hear, like, what that process was like. I can't believe Nicki was, anyway.
It was weird. Do you remember when...
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Mariah and Nikki, so they were judges together, and Mariah was talking to someone and she was like, it's so hard to get a number one hit in this business. You know, I have X many, and but not everyone can get a number one hit.
What?
And
it
was like very, very pointed.
Wow.
Yeah, the shade was
what a disaster.
Drowning in shade. Yeah. Anyway, so that was the real diversion. So Lauren Elena, she ended up with a country number one hit with Kane Brown with What Ifs. Now she has, she's doing her solo thing, which she's been doing for a while, but it actually seems to be getting some traction. This song is called Ladies in the 90s. It's country, but it's like very pop country. It's super fun. I hadn't heard this, so thanks for recommending it. I really enjoyed it. It's all about her singing how she was raised on radio waves when the ladies dominated. She references Britney, Strawberry Wine, No Scrubs. It's just kind of this like...
I do love the really fun chorus where she just like, go, you know how it's a big thing at the beginning of award shows for people, the host, to do like
yes.
a little mashup?
Right.
She sort of does that on the chorus here, but in a yeah. in a fun way and by someone who can actually sing.
Right.
So it's nice.
Yeah.
No shade to Trace Young's.
but I like, and that's also fun because like there's, this is the like second Britney Hit Me Baby One More Time reference in a song like this month, like is that Charlie XCX Troye Sivan
yeah,
song?
It's all
the two
99.
Of these songs are also, this is like the country version of that, and that's the
sure.
pop version of this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, 90s nostalgia.
It's back.
90s nostalgia comes every 20 years. Yeah. We're actually nearing the end of it.
Yeah.
But you, what do you think about it? You like it? It's fun?
Yeah, it's fun.
All right, I'm not gonna push that.
It's yeah, I think it's a fun little song. Like I said, the mashup is exciting. I think she does it well, but honestly, like the phrase "ladies of the '90s" doesn't roll off the tongue because if anyone else out there has seen Pitch Perfect, that one mm-hmm. scene where they're doing the spinner to see, you know, like what acapella group is gonna sing what, they get "ladies of the '80s."
That does roll off the tongue.
And that just sounds better. So
ladies,
I get a
80s,
little
yeah.
yeah. But, anyways. You know, can't change when she was born.
Can't she, though? Sounds like a quitter attitude. Anyways, let's listen to it. So it's Lauren Elena, Ladies in the 90s. I just wanna feel like ladies in the 90s. Turn the dial and find me some strawberry wine. So I can sing all night long, acting like I'm Britney. Come on, baby, hit me. Just one more. All right, that was Lauren Elena per Chad Davis's fan rec. Thanks, Chad. Thanks, Chad.
Tweet us, Chad. With more songs.
Yeah.
Even when I forget that they happen, Joe will
yeah.
find them and email
yeah.
them.
Yeah, I've got my eye on it.
Yeah.
Jason, let's do another one of your picks.
Yeah.
Drake and Bad Bunny, Together at Last.
Finally.
Song is MIA, not involving the artist MIA.
Well, is it like it's just Mia, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I hear what you're saying because it's Mia like all caps. So I was like, is it yeah. MIA? But he sings Mia.
Yeah.
Plus the song itself was MIA for a bit.
Ooh. Wow. You're really taking like the Joe like mantle of dad jokes. This
yeah.
Thanks, someone asked you.
I'll let you dominate again next week, but I'm on a roll.
So Bad Bunny and Drake. Together at Last, I guess. I mean,
yeah.
Here's the thing. we were talking yesterday about how a couple years ago Drake tried to sing in Spanish with Romeo Santos. That song, Odio, was not the best.
A little odious.
He's back.
There is no competition for Joe Lynch's pop.
The original.
Yeah. But this one, it just seems much more natural, and it just kind of speaks to, more than anything, like, this speaks to how savvy Drake is. Like, to record, like, to understand that Bad Bunny is blowing up within Latin music, but also outside, within mainstream pop music. Obviously, he was on I Like It with Cardi B and J Balvin, but, like, he just seems really magnetic as a new, like, commodity within pop music. And this is just a great showcase for both of them. I think that it obviously feels more natural for Bad Bunny, but even without, like, the language barrier, and I think Drake does pretty admirably with his Spanish here, but I think that even the styling, the delivery, the basically the whole vibe of this just feels more like a Bad Bunny song than a Drake song. It's only, it's been like a minute since Drake has felt a little bit out of his comfort zone on a single. Like, even if you think about, like, songs by, like, Blackboy JB and Lil Baby, like, he still kind of dominates. But this one, he's definitely, like, he's playing an away game. And I think that's a credit to Bad Bunny and his whole aesthetic. So, I love it. I know that John Caramonica at the Times tweeted that, like, this is the song of the summer released in October. And it's kind of true. Like, this song, I think, is going to be a huge, huge hit. And, you know, the year of Drake kind of rolls on, so...
It's fine. I mean, I don't know. Like, Bad Bunny sounds comfortable, but, like, I don't know. Drake sounds, I think, like we said, like, he's too out of his element for me. He sounds like I just don't know why he's on this song, other than the fact that, like, Drake is arguably the biggest pop star in the world right now. Like, he doesn't, like, add to it. Like, I think someone else would have made more sense. I mean, he makes sense because, like, people are listening to it because it's Drake, but, like, like, artistically, he doesn't really add anything to it. Like, he sounds fine, but not great. He doesn't sound super comfortable. The song itself is, like, pretty mid-tempo, and, like, it's cool, it's good, but, like, I feel like they needed someone to, like, match Bad Bunny's energy or take it to the next level, and Drake just kind of, like, acquits himself. It's not, like, if this gets played over and over, like, I'm not going to be angry at it, but, like, I'm certainly not going to go out of my way to, like, be putting this on regularly. Damn. I was pretty, like, I was like, yeah, sure, fine, why not with it?
I agree. For as much as this song has been hyped, when I listened to it, I was kind of like, that's it? Like, that's what this is? I think everything you said is right. You know, if you're going to do a Bad Bunny Drake song, let them both play into their strengths. And maybe that would have been a different song, which would have been fine. And maybe this song would have existed with someone else on it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, not a knock on the song. It is good. I just agree that the pairing and the result of that pairing is a little off.
I think especially, like, after, like, you know, like, we saw Bieber, who certainly can't sing in Spanish, you know, do sound so great on Despacito, and then Beyonce on Mi Gente. And, you know, again, Beyonce's not... You know, she's not a Latin artist, but she sounded great on that. And then for this to come along, like, the bar's already been set pretty high, and you're kind of like,
Yeah.
Anyways, that is my thought.
I guess I'm more comfortable with it than you, but yeah, I like it.
All right. I mean, you know, ultimately, Drake wins no matter what Drake does.
Exactly.
He's, like, the biggest.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's, I agree with that. Anyways, so Bad Bunny and Drake... Mia, or all caps, MIA. Here it is. All right, Lindsay, every step that I take, this is...
Sounds like a ballad, yeah, it's really not.
Yeah, we're going to end with a very Lindsay
core...
There's
one more song.
No, I'm saying we're going to end with a very Lindsay core pick and then a very Joe core pick. So let's do it. Let's end strong, guys.
Oh, yeah, all right.
All right, so we got Tom Morello, and this is in your email, all caps, featuring Portugal the Man.
And Weathen. I shouldn't leave him on. Yeah, but yeah. I mean,
Weathen of our 21 under 21 list.
Yeah, of 21 under 21 fame, Weathen. yeah, so just to start, this Tom Morello album, The Atlas Underground, came out today. The song I picked had, came out as a single, but, you know, got to talk about it today.
Yeah.
A lot of people have mixed feelings about this album. I think it is awesome what he did. He put together basically like a dance rock pop album. Every single track has a feature on it. Everyone from like Marcus Mumford to Knife Party to Portugal the Man to Bass Nectar, Steve Aoki. It's just wild if you look through it. And, you know, not every song works, but for the most part, they do. And I think this is a good example of one that really clicked for all of the people involved. I don't have too much.
And you interviewed him about this, right?
Yeah, we did talk about it a little bit.
What did he say anything about this? Did you ask about Portugal?
Of course I did. He calls John Gourley Johnny. I'm not on that level yet, but no. But one of the things I asked him, like, you know, Portugal the Man, they're pretty active in terms of having a stance and having a voice on social media for political issues. Tom Morello obviously has the same thing going on. Yeah. So I asked if that was at all a common thread when deciding who to work with, and it absolutely was for him. So I think a lot of these songs do have a stronger message. There's a good one with Vic Mensa, which is also, you know, sort of a natural but unexpected fit there. But yeah, I don't know. I'm a fan of this
album. Was he Tom Morello Chicago?
Oh, yeah. We talked about the Cubs for a long time.
Yeah.
He's from Libertyville, which is like maybe a half hour away from where I grew up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. We go way back.
All 6 years of your life, you go way back.
Yep. I just keep getting younger and younger. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, so I don't know.
Not
like,
sold.
I'm not sold on this.
That's
like,
fine.
I really like Tom Morello's guitar at the very end. It's doing a very cool, like, 80s hair metal thing that reminds me specifically of kind of like the metal you would hear in these, like, really cheesy 80s movies, but in, like, a good way.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know, like it's like Portugal kind of doing that thing. There's like the rumbly bass line, the high pitched vocals. Mm-hmm. It's like a good groove, but it just doesn't land for me or something.
That's
it's just
fine.
Like, it's like fine. It's just the elements, like on paper, I'd read like how it sounds and what's going on and be like, oh, that sounds cool. But it doesn't add up to me for some reason. But yeah. I mean, I don't hate it. Did you have thoughts, Jason?
I'm kind of with you. I'm a little bit higher on the song. It just sounds like a pretty good Portugal the Man song.
Yeah.
With a little bit of electric guitar added in. And yeah, that's really all I got. Like, I think it's a pretty good song. And yeah, that's really all I
cool.
got.
Cool, I'll take it. I will take it.
I enjoyed it. I didn't mind it. Yeah, Portugal the Man.
Yep. Portugal the Man from Billboard's number one Portugal the Stan.
Oh,
that's what they call me.
But yeah, so it's Tom Morello featuring Portugal the Man and Weathen, and it's called Every Step That I Take, and here it is. Every time I move, every step that I take, everywhere I look, it's right in front of my face. One foot in the shadows, one foot on the brakes, one foot to the gallows, where it's quiet and safe. Every step that I take. All right, next and last is my pick.
Time.
One of my picks. It is time. Jason's going to drag me for this.
Drag him.
So it's Elvis Costello and the Imposters. Elvis Costello has a new album called Look Now.
You talked to Elvis recently.
Similar to you talking to Tom. Yes. We're going to end this with two favorites that we both interviewed. So I interviewed Elvis Costello, which was really exciting. I mean, we do a lot of interviews here, but typically they're over the phone. I got to sit down with him in a hotel room. It was fantastic.
That's awesome.
Chatting with him. He's obviously just a huge, huge like music fan and knows a lot about deep music history. But anyway, so the one I picked is called Photographs Can Lie. I think it's very interesting. It's him reteaming with Burt Bacharach. Burt Bacharach is obviously one of the most prolific, successful, and acclaimed songwriters of the 20th century.
Mm-hmm.
And he worked with Elvis Costello on a really gorgeous album from, now I can't remember if it's 97 or 98, but it's called Painted from Memory. And it's one of Elvis Costello's, I would say, probably best, maybe top five, maybe, albums. And Burt Bacharach is on three of the songs on the album. Costello also co-wrote a song with Carole King on it, which is obviously a big get. She's another one of those greatest of all time 20th century songwriters. But this one is called Photographs Can Lie. It's a pretty muted musically affair. The lyrics are about kind of a daughter contemplating that she, her, you know, like her view of her father has changed as now she's grown up. She, you know, used to idolize him, but then she found out about an affair he was having, and so now she can't look at him the same way. And, you know, like the photographs are happy, but photographs can lie, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
When I talked to him about the album, he said a lot of the themes about, you know, a lot of the songs are about these sort of like everyday tragedies, things that he described as like not, you know, nothing earth shattering, but just kind of these like sad, you know, like a divorcee like trying to move on and find the confidence to date again. Or mm-hmm. in this case, you know, a daughter realizing she had a rose tinted view of her father who wasn't perfect. These sort of like very like minor but still like personally significant sad things. And I love that. I think that's yeah. cool. Like, I think there's sometimes, you know, songs can be about too much drama, and like this is no less interesting or real life. And it's great. But
yeah,
anyways.
I mean, to take a long view of Elvis Costello's career, like, it's interesting because he started out kind of in the exact other direction of just writing kind of broader pop songs, you could say. On like My Aim Is True and This Year's Model, like they're much more like universal, and these mm-hmm. are much more zoomed in and personal and you know, lyrically intimate. Yeah, this was like a classic Joe Lynch pick, but I like it. And I think that you know, it's you when you get to the stage of your career with Elvis Costello that Elvis Costello's in, we always say like, someone like him has nothing to prove, but like he wants to keep making music, he wants to keep figuring out new things to say, and I feel like this is a pretty good way of doing that, of just zooming in on different themes that you really want to explore in depth, and I appreciate that.
Yeah,
didn't see that coming, Joe.
I didn't see that coming. No,
yeah, that's
right. I really
right.
didn't either.
Yeah,
yeah. I think I'm about to be the bad guy.
Oh,
what are you gonna say?
No, I mean, I do like it. I like it mm-hmm. a little more knowing everything that you just said about the influences and mm-hmm. sort of why he went down this road. It's just a little too soft for me.
A little too soft, sure.
A little too sleepy. I don't know. I love the song title. Like, mm-hmm. that to me is really interesting. But, yeah, other than that,
you like the penmanship more than the music.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you're like, so you saw the title and you're like, photographs can lie. And then you were disappointed about how they can
how
lie.
They lie.
I understand. Cool.
I'm looking this up right now because I cannot think of it off the top of my head. Oh, also, Burt Bacharach is 90. Like, just shout out to people who are like 90
Burt.
And still making music. Like,
yeah.
Tony Bennett just had an album. Like,
I think Burt just worked with Andrea Bocelli too. He's just really
like that. Just astonishes me, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, at that age, I would just be like, I owe you nothing. You people don't deserve anything more from me. I'm done. I'm just watching TV. Like, go away. But no, good on him.
Still writing
wants to
music.
Keep busy.
Yeah.
Anyways, well, let's listen to it. It's Elvis Costello and the Imposters, co-written with Burt Bacharach. It's called Photographs Can Lie.
Now they say that I have the gaze that must recall. My bright morning sun, now I am more than everyone.
All right, that was new Elvis Costello. And that's all we got for this podcast.
That's all we got.
Can I give one shout out? And I wanted to pick something from this album, but it came out mm-hmm. last week. I wanted to talk about Lil Baby and Gunna and Drake and Bad Bunny. But have either of you listened to the new, and I'm going to censor it, the new Effed Up album?
Oh, I have not. Damn it. I should have picked one of those.
Oh, yeah. You did say that you liked it as well.
I loved it. We can say it. The band is a punk band called Fucked Up.
Wow.
That's also
so
at
you
the
broke
end of the podcast here. So, you know.
You cover your ears.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good. It's called Dose Your Dreams.
Yeah. New album is incredible.
If anyone's
like
a fan of,
maybe
talk about it next week. Even.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
But if anyone's a fan of David Comes to Life, which was I think the 2010 album.
Yeah, that was my
I adored that album. Yeah. And then the follow up, Glass Boys, I was pretty
I think they were too.
No, well, actually, I interviewed the guy, the main guy, Pink Eyes, and he said they really liked Glass Boys, but they 100% were aware of the fan response to it, and that the fans were pretty much like, we don't care for this at all.
Yeah.
But yeah, we should. This is a really good album.
Dreams.
Shout out. And, you know, we also missed talking about the Cher ABBA covers album.
we didn't miss that.
Yes, what are you talking about? That was
so good.
Yes,
Joe, we missed.
It was so good.
How did we? Oh, we just had it on the agenda and just fell right off.
It's so much fun. You guys are jerks.
I will also say that so someone gave us, we got another 5-star rating. Thank you to that. But
thank
we need
you.
More reviews. We need
five
more,
stars.
We need more reviews.
You.
Let's. We need reviews and that describe Joe's voice.
Yeah.
Please write reviews.
Please. Yes. Please. And tweet us.
Please.
Again, shout out Chad. Thank
shout
you.
Out
shout
Chad.
Out Chad.
All right. Thanks for listening. Tweet us. Review us. Whatever else. Write us letters.
All the
fan
things.
Mail.
Yeah, mail us a letter.
And yeah, we'll catch you next week. Thank you.
And goodbye.
And bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.